Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hey guys, back for another episode of Real Donald Trump Wisdom. So we're Friday at the Trump Tower. This is basically lessons from The Art of the Deal, Donald Trump's first book, published in 1987. Here, so last day of that week, first lesson is to create a compelling spectacle and know how to entertain. Basically, Trump confirms his intuition by reading the morning's paper. He sees that the concrete pouring at Woolmer Rink made it to the headline of the New York Times. Second one is, when attempting to secure a deal, first highlight the points that the other party will like. So he's talking with the city planners for part of the to get approvals on the Hudson Yard deals that he's on the land that he has, basically. And he's his negotiator is highlighting the positives, things that he knows the city council will appreciate, and they're all mentioning the more edgy points, which is the height of the building, right? So, like, let's say he needs to get the approval, he's gonna go just put the emphasis on the things that are kind of reassuring for the person he's talking to. He mentions that one of his colleagues has a big mouth and that she's a great saleswoman because of that. So essentially being able to talk, being comfortable talking is a skill that can help in securing sales, maybe more on the pipeline side, right? It can get you to generate leads. And then for sure on the closing side, sometimes, you know, you have to know when to stop. When you secure the deal, and maybe not over talk then, but in general, being comfortable talking is a skill that can help you in the sales process. So, right, either generating leads and potentially getting through the close, but of course, you have to balance that with knowing when you achieved your aim as well, right? So Trump, we can see in his negotiation styles, he can be very, very verbose in general. So he does have a lot to say, but he doesn't say more than he intends to say. So he can't really be cornered. He says exactly what he means and doesn't give more information unless he chooses to do it. So he's not going to talk to fill or kill time. He's going to end his statement when he ends it. So, of course, you have to know when to end a statement. So this is kind of a double-edged sword. Like, he compliments his colleague for having a big mouth, but you have to know when to stop. But in general, the ease of talking is conducive to a broader pipeline and to more sales. In general, it's good to cultivate great relationships for character references and with people you sincerely admire. So Trump is applying for a casino license in Nevada, and he needs character references. He's willing to include cardinal with which he had dinner the previous day, and people high up in the U.S. military that he admires. So I think he mentioned a general. So you see, he had a reverence for people of high integrity in kind of historic institutions, and he cultivated good relationships with them, and he feels that they can vouch for his character. So of course, this is the long game. You want to have good relationships with people in general, but especially with people that you admire. So don't hesitate to start engaging in that process to have people you admire you back. Be efficient. So Trump comes, you know, has a lot of things to do. Basically, he has to sign up the papers for his gaming license, and his wife is coming to let him know that they have to go to a school, you know, to confirm a school for Ivanka, their daughter. And Trump has to leave like within 3 minutes. So he just signs his documents and goes. But this is something that you have to keep in mind, especially for young parents out there. Having kids or being in a, you know, married life is a commitment that requires time, of course, but that often isn't planned. So this isn't things that you can schedule per se. It's the spontaneous nature of a close-knit nuclear family. And for that, you have to be extremely efficient. It forces you, I think, when you switch from the younger days, say the college life or the single life, to the committed married parent life, you have to be more efficient with your work. You have to get more things done quick. You have to work smart, because you have commitments that will surprise you, that will take a lot of time. So you'll have to get a lot more work done in much shorter periods. So, you know, it's a good thing. You have to get ready for that. But you'll be forced to do that sooner or later when you hit that stage. And Trump demonstrates that he has to be, like, he basically has, he's happy to go with his wife, of course. He is a good parent. But here he demonstrates that even for high stakes things, there's less time. And so he has to be quick and efficient. Here, just a quick side note on Trump's preferences. He says that he prefers earth tones to primary colors for basically for indoor decorations. And you can see at Mar-a-Lago or at Trump Tower, the tones of the marble is usually very neutral, beige usually. So as he says in his own words, that he prefers earth tones to primary colors. So a little note on the aesthetics that he prefers. Now, going to real estate development, the kneeling cost is the name of the game. He is very cost conscious, right? Because let's see, there is an estimate for how much he can sell the apartment, and the thing he has to make sure that he controls to protect his profit margin is the cost. And so he's extremely diligent about costs, and he calls the contractor on one of his projects because there is an overrun and he feels that it isn't exactly going as planned. So he speaks directly to the owner / manager and, you know, makes him understand that if it's not up to standard, he's going to lose his business and he'll never hire him again. Essentially, he's telling him that a lot of people are competing to get business from him, and that he trusted this contractor and he expects him to get the job done on time and on budget. And so here are, I guess, the two lessons you can walk away with is, if you want your case to be handled with more like expediency and competence, speak to the owner manager directly. Like, this is going to usually make the professionals in front of you kind of treat you or treat your demand with more expediency, right? And secondly, it's that you have to be willing to walk away. And when you show that you can have business elsewhere, that you can give your business elsewhere, this gives you an extra credibility and an extra, there's an extra incentive for them to work hard to keep you, right? You have to, and it goes also in many other areas of life, to show that you're not taken for granted, that your business, that your presence, that your, you know, that your goodwill shouldn't be taken for granted. And that hits a tone. And finally, Trump calls this second in command, so let's say a mid-level staff, and tells him the high expectations set by his own manager and owner at project initiation. Basically, he's telling him how high of an expectation is, what are the standards that his own manager is expecting, and that how much, you know, like, quality is part of the initial agreement, let's say the SLA, or the service that was expected. And then by kind of placing it from the prism of the manager, the second person in command understands, let's say manager, owner, so his boss, basically the person doing the execution, understands the level of expectation that's not only coming from the client, but it's coming from his higher ups. And then, like, there's a double incentive to get things right. And of course, in general, you want things to be win-win. So you remind the other party where you are and potentially will continue to be a great partner for business. So, all right, you're not necessarily, you indicate that you want to do more business contingent on a good job being done, but you also remind them that you can potentially do a lot more business. So there is, again, an extra incentive or an implied, you know, reward. Of course, it's not, there's no commitment, but you, and it's clear that you're not committing, but that potentially if they surprise you, impress you with the work done, there's much more in the pipeline. And this is a great way to have your contractors really, or your vendors, or people you do business with, really want to outdo themselves to kind of impress you and be the one on the next job. Then the next lesson is, be determined and unfazed by corporate scare tactics. So Holiday Inn board that Trump is slowly building position and significant potential one to acquire is introducing a poison pill, which is a provision that makes it harder for outsiders to gain control of the company. And Trump is not kind of fazed by that. So like, he understands the process, what they're trying to do, but he is more matter of fact, like, he is, it's like mind over matter type of philosophy, that if he is basically, he's not giving up the determination, and we can see it in his pursuit for the presidency, that it's not what these so-called experts say, it's not what a written document says, it's not what a quote-unquote so-called institution of various types says, but it's kind of really, when there's a will, there's a way. And in that sense, he's really not fazed by the kind of judicial corporate tactic used to prevent a takeover. Like, he understands what it is. Like, his investment banker is advising him, of course. He understands what's going on, but he's unfazed, and he still feels that if he wants to eventually take ownership, he's going to do it. And we have to learn from that to keep the determination. Of course, you have to, within the bounds of physics, but as Elon Musk says, boil it down to physics, right? He can do something if it's physically possible. He believes it's physically possible, right? So he's not fazed by what a document is going to say, for example. Next, speak up your mind. So the colleague that he has, who's a bit verbose and a good salesperson, was explaining some plans, basically like showing drawings of buildings, like marketing. And there was more of an emphasis on Central Park, views that the potential buyers would have of Central Park. Trump basically tells her, we're selling the inside, like we want to show the inside more than the view. Like people are paying top dollar also for where they're going to live, like the inside of where they're going to spend their time inside the apartment. And so speak up your mind, right? So if you have someone who is kind of aggressive in a boardroom setting, in a conference room, in a business, don't be afraid to explain your different perspective or point of view. You know, disagreement is okay. We're not, in the later generations, like the more recent graduates, we're not encouraged to dissent or to disagree, right? We have a more encouraged to either blindly agree or to not because of us in general, but it's okay to disagree. And especially if you have valid reasons to, you should say it. And so Trump makes his point, and of course he's the boss and the decision maker at the end of the day, but here we see that if you disagree, speak up your mind. Another one, set golf dates or other informal outdoor activities on weekends with current and prospective business partners. So Trump, or someone who works in the limousine business that he likes, he basically sets a date for the weekend to have golf with this friend / current or future business partner. And this is something that you can do in your own professional life to plan activities outside of work with people that you would like to do business with. Basically, you can do networking on weekends or after work by doing fun activities with people that you like or want to know more. So this is a great way. Trump, of course, owns a lot of beautiful golf courses, and it's a beautiful pastime, in nature. It is a sport, a lot of walking, a lot of carrying, if you unless you have someone helping you for that. And golf courses are really huge, so it's a sport that keeps you in touch with nature, with other people, right? It's a sport that allows you to speak. Like the pace isn't too fast that the activity is all-consuming. You can really have a conversation, enjoy the views, enjoy the scoreboard, see who's doing better. Trump loves the sport, and a lot of business people do as well. Another one is to have extremely high standards for your career and your personal life. So Trump, basically in his Trump Tower apartment, penthouse, the top three floors, he imports some marble from Italy. Basically, he spares no expenses to live truly in what he says is the equivalent, let's say the 20th century equivalent of Versailles, right? So he wants to live in glamour, and in a similar way in your personal life, things that you really aspire to be, do, or have, you set that expectations for you, and don't let go of that expectations. And we're going to see another point of Trump's super high expectations is that he gets a call from someone selling G4 private planes, and he tells him that he's interested in buying a plane, but he prefers if he can keep an eye out on a 727, which is a commercial airplane. He says, this is what I really want. So eventually he doesn't get a commercial airplane. And so he doesn't settle for like a regular private plane. He gets a commercial one. So like, I want to say, of course, Trump has like bigger than life ambitions. And what we can walk away with here is to not settle for less, to always have that, right? So he accepts, he's willing to go for the private plane, but he still knows that he prefers the bigger one. And basically it's a way to say like, don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up, as corny as it may sound, like don't give up on your highest ideal for your life. Keep that in the back of your mind, maybe at the front of your mind. And it can and will happen, of course, with a lot of work. But you see the picture. He doesn't believe that it's not possible. He does not let that cross through his mind. And really is something that's unique and remarkable. Next one is to follow up. So he sent like an envoy to Australia for discussing a business, a gaming empire, because you know in Australia, and Trump really wants to know the details of how the meeting went. Wants to have like he's following up with his point of contact with the person he sent, and in general, just following up is a skill. It's a habit that pays huge dividends. So in your personal and professional relationships, being someone that's not only reliable but proactive really makes you stand out. So follow-up is the mark of a professional. And you could see it on the campaign trail for Trump. And more broadly, the trust that is built by someone who follows up diligently, proactively, is miles ahead of someone who does not follow up. Like, there's a real trust element that exists with the person who follows up that doesn't exist with the person who doesn't. So keep that in mind. Trump is in the middle of his day, gets a at the end of his day, David Letterman is in the Trump Tower lobby, and he's asking it, Trump's assistant, if he can just come up with two tourists. He's filming like a day in life of a tourist in New York City. Trump very generously accepts, even though he doesn't know them. He's willing to have David Letterman. He knows David Letterman is pretty popular, right? He's a talk show host who had a great run, basically, in the, like, for I think over 30 years, from the 80s to the like early 2010s, and maybe more than that. Trump knows of him, of course, but he says he doesn't have time to watch his show, but he knows he's a big deal in television. But still, he's very kind to the two guests who come in from a more rural setting, and he like chats with them, banters, jokes about doing real estate deals in their city, and they just have a great time. And Trump is going to show some humility, because the Letterman is going to like kind of poke at him, saying, "Wow, you had time to take us in just like on the fly. Like, that means you had nothing to do." And Trump just goes along, yeah, it means I have nothing to do. So he's like humorous. He knows how to have a good laugh even at himself. And so in general, be kind, courteous, and generous with your time. This is just a good policy in general.